a warm hello to you today from the warm heart of a down-home gal, somewhere in the warm heart of America. This is Prepare for Freedom, show number 18, coming to you today on the Inspiring Friends Network. You can find us online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/prepareforfreedom. My name is Sharon, and I'm your host for today's show. Now, let me introduce you to my co-host and official Two Cents producer, Billy Bob. Say hello, Billy Bob.
Well, hello there, Sharon. Now, we're going to get something straight right now. This is it. I had enough of this in a warm part of the, wherever part of the country. It's cold outside. Can't you say it's cold? I mean, really?
I was thinking about that as I was saying that, kind of suppressing a chuckle. It's cold outside where we are. This is Mississippi. It's supposed to be warm. Well, not today.
No, I forgot to say, oh, hello, Billy Bob.
Oh, see, yeah.
You got me all off track, this boy. Well, hello, folks. How y'all doing today? I hope y'all warm.
Well, if you aren't, hopefully we'll get you good and warm by the time the show is over. You'll either love us or you'll be mad at us.
Well, I'm drinking my hot chocolate.
He's drinking his hot chocolate. So, as he's drinking that, let me just mention that Billy Bob, as usual, is raring to go for another show, and you will be hearing more from him shortly, as Billy Bob loves to put in his 2 cents worth. Listen to Billy Bob long enough and keep adding up those 2 cents, and you will soon be rich. Now, on to the topic of today. And we have got a good one today. And I'm just going to give you notice right now. Not only do we think it's a good one, but it may be our last one. So if we're going to go out, we're going to go out in a blaze of glory. Would you explain, please, Billy Bob?
A blaze of glory. Hey, that was the name of a song, you know, by Bon Jovi, Blaze of Glory.
Oh.
Yeah, it played on Young Guns, in fact. So I think we're going to go out in style.
All right.
And we're going to profile. But hopefully this won't be our last one. We're just hoping we get some people who are listening out there who appreciate what we have been doing so far would go on Prepare for Freedom, and their little thing on there said donation that you could help us so we can stay on the air and let us know how you really feel about us. If you have a subject or you think we need to change something, please let us know. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And if you don't like us, we're good with that. We'll
yeah.
let you vote with your pocketbook over the holidays. How's that?
Yeah.
We believe that freedom isn't free. We know that freedom isn't free. And we're also aware that there is really no such thing as free internet. So, yeah. Just so you know, and we are very happy for all of the listeners that we have and all the good feedback we've gotten, and we hope that what we've been doing is making a difference. We've got a topic today that we hope will get you thinking. It might even get you mad. You know, maybe we just need to get you mad, or maybe we'll get you glad, but we're going to get you something before this hour is done. As we mentioned before, the topic is freedom isn't free. There's been a high price to pay for freedom in the past. There's a high price to pay so our freedom will last. And let's just throw the question out. I'll let Billy Bob get started here as far as when we say to Billy Bob, freedom isn't free. What does it mean to you, Billy Bob?
Well, freedom isn't free. Well, there's nothing free in this world. You always got to pay a price, no matter whether it's right or wrong. Whatever you do, there's a price. You got to pay for it. So nothing is free. And mentioning free, we got a bad thing going on right now, and with this our computer virus war going on here, cyber war. And all you listeners and all, be careful what you do on your computers, because I got, you could say, hacked, smacked, and got a little virus in my computer, and it ain't free getting it fixed. So be careful what you do out there with your computers. Take care of them. Keep your antivirus up, and sometimes if somebody tells you something, try to listen to them and all. They've probably been through it. You know, they might be telling you for a reason to try to protect your computer, whether it's a laptop, desktop, iPad, whatever it can be. If you go on the internet and everything, be careful out there. And, you know, like Sharon said, our freedom ain't free. But do you know the men, we're going to go back in a little history, of all the men that died for our independence in this country, especially during the Revolutionary War, the Declaration of Independence.
That'll be our special feature at the end of the show, so
boy,
stick around. You will love this. It's a Paul Harvey classic.
Yes, he's good. You know, all the men that had fought for our country died because they believed in liberty and justice for all. They made us free. But at the same time, when King George was in England and all, he would consider us, if we signed the Declaration of Independence, we were called conspiracy and all.
Conspirators, yes.
Yes, because we were going against England because we wanted our freedom. We didn't want England telling us who we could worship, how we could worship, who we had to buy our stuff from, who we had to trade with, and nothing like that.
Oh, that isn't happening today now, is it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is.
If you look at these giant commodity stores, Walmart, Kmart, Target, I'm going to name a few on the air.
Yeah, the gloves are off today.
This is it. Of all these stores, they want you to buy their product. So they're going out there trying to make you feel guilty and all, but they're trying to say, buy this, buy this. And they're not going to give you too much of a choice. And they're taking your freedom away from that. We're also losing our freedom in our government, too. Seems like our government, we got to straighten up. We have the right to change our government, voting. So, you know, we need to really try to change what we're doing in our government, even today. Because look what's happening. People are trying to control us again.
Big time.
Yes. It's supposed to be people, it's supposed to be the government, not the government being the people.
Right. This is a good time for me to start on my little rant for today.
Go for it.
All right. I'm going to read some of this now, and I'll do some of it later. But I want to start off and take this down a ways, and when it's time to stop, we will talk about it. This is an article that, let me give credit to where it comes from. It comes from a site called endoftheamericandream.com. And if you want to get your eyes opened, go there and take a look. Everything they present there is researched. They're not conspiracy theorists or terrorists or any of that. We wouldn't lead you to a site like that. But they will provide some information there that bears your attention. And I'm going to read some from an article which they just posted there because it pertains precisely to what we're talking about today, that freedom isn't free and it's being taken away from us day by day as we let it slip through our hands through our own indifference and unwillingness to open our eyes and see what's happening. And the consequences are getting very, very, very serious. We are seeing the big old prison doors close in this country very rapidly. And if we don't do something, we are going to get strangled to death. Let me explain. In this country, the control freaks that run things are obsessed with watching, tracking, monitoring, and recording virtually everything that we do. Nothing is private anymore. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's noticed that. Think about it. Everything you do on the internet is being monitored. All of your phone calls are being monitored. This is not conspiracy theory. This is simple fact. It's happening, people. In fact, if law enforcement authorities suspect that you have done something wrong, they will use your cell phone microphone to listen to you, even when you think your cell phone is turned off. We can thank this surveillance to the Patriot Act, passed shortly after September 11, 2001, and continued in force. In many areas of the country, when you get into your car, automated license plate readers track you wherever you go. And in many major cities, when you are walking on the streets, a vast network of security cameras and, quote, smart streetlights, unquote, are constantly watching you and listening to whatever you say. Have you looked up recently, if you live in the city, and looked around you? They are there. And then we have the good old Transportation Safety Association, also known as the TSA. The TSA is setting up internal checkpoints all over the nation, not just at our airports anymore. Homeland Security. You know, Homeland Security, Homeland, that came from the German Homeland, Deutschland, Über alles, the German Homeland, and we are adopting the good old German names now, English language, of course, but, you know, well, we don't have any resemblance to what they might have done in Nazi Germany. But funny, we're starting to use the same names. Homeland Security is encouraging all of us to report any suspicious activities that our neighbors are involved in. Who knows? I'll get reported after doing the show. And the federal government is rapidly developing what you might call pre-crime technology that will flag us as, quote, potential terrorists if we display any signs of nervousness. If you are flagged as a potential terrorist, now with the passage of recent executive orders, the U.S. military can arrest you and detain you for the rest of your life without even having to charge you with anything. Yes, the United States of America is rapidly being turned into a Big Brother prison grid, and most Americans are happily going along with it. Why? Because this is all being done for our security and our safety. What do you think, Billy Bob? How safe and secure do you feel today?
Sometimes I wonder, how safe is it really out there? I mean, people can come up to you now and shoot you and blow you away. So either way you look at it, you're not no safer than what you are. People are still going to be people.
That's right.
As far as this country is walking down, look at the crime rate, violence and all, burglary and robberies, shoplifting has increased. And especially around this kind of a holiday, it's going to get worse and worse. So we don't have no freedom of protecting ourselves, it seems like, no more.
Well, yeah, now we've got attempts to take away our means of self-protection. Some people still believe that guns are a constitutional right, and we ought to be able to protect ourselves with them.
Well, it seems like it's getting that way. We have the right to bear arms.
Yeah, but we sure got some control freaks that are trying to take that right away from us, too.
Sometimes it's better to try to help along with people and all like this and look at the way our economy is. Instead of trying to make things worse, why don't we just get together and try to make things a little bit better?
Well, we sure could, and this is a great time to start thinking about that over the holidays. We just got through with this corporate orgy known as Black Friday that has about as much to do with Christmas as ice cream has to do with tamales.
Hey, you know how Black Friday got started? I looked it up.
Uh-oh.
I actually wanted to know what Black Friday, how it got started. It actually started in New York City.
Figures.
The day after Christmas, with all the traffic jams they were having for people rushing to the stores to go shopping, and they were having all these accidents. And it was making, you know, the insurance happy because they were making money. So this name Black Friday came along. And you look at it today, look at all the people rushing around like they did on after Thanksgiving going shopping. And the biggest thing that we got are trapped into is the credit cards. Boy, they will get you. And they want you to use the credit cards.
Spend, spend, spend. Run up those credit card charges. Eat, drink, and be merry. The holiday season is here. Now, just whatever you do, do not go into a store and say Merry Christmas.
That's true.
Happy holidays is politically correct.
Happy holidays, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, even happy holidays or whatever you may want to say, to me, my beliefs is wrong, but that's a different subject right now. So let's get to the main point of, you know, people are going to shopping with a credit card and everything like this, and they're buying. And they're trying to say, well, we're trying to help the economy.
Yeah, it's a patriotic thing to do, right?
Right. We're not helping the economy. We're making ourselves more deeper debt.
Making ourselves debt slaves, deeper debt slaves.
All the people that are out there now that are working this part of the holidays, if you want to call it, it's going to help the economy. But what really will help the economy if we, the people, take back and tell our congressmen and senators to bring these factories back to our country and put our American people back to work. This is where our freedom will come in, because then we will be free to listen to the other country tell us what to do, how to do it, and what to buy.
One problem, Billy Bob.
What's that?
Our Congress has been sold out lock, stock, and barrel to these very corporate interests that have shipped the jobs overseas.
But, you know, eventually, you know, some of these congressmen and all like that, if they knew how it felt and seen and lived it, they would understand it if they ever got to the poor part or they didn't have making all that kind of money and everything.
Why should they care? They're all paid very well to vote the way they do, and their vote is being paid for by the corporate interests, in multinational corporate interests, not even American corporate interests anymore. They're the ones that make the campaign contributions. So we have a situation where we have a Congress sold out lock, stock, and barrel to a phenomenon, a new state religion known as corporatism. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. We really do have a state religion in this country. Like I told you, we're taking the gloves off today. We're going to talk about some things. And corporatism is up at the top of the list. Remember, there's a C word that begins with C, and then it's followed by an H and an R. And if I go too many more letters, golly, I could be really accused of being politically incorrect. Christianity is something that is not allowed anymore, pretty much, in the public view. We wouldn't want to in any way present Christianity as being a state religion. And I'm in favor of that. There should be no religion, the state religion, that is forced upon everybody. But the fact of the matter is we have a religion and a form of worship that is being forced upon everybody. And then the unfortunate thing is we are willingly accepting it and becoming slaves to it. And that is the false religion of corporatism, another C religion. If you're going to replace the religion, you may as well replace it with something beginning with C, so it at least sounds good. But you won't hear the word corporatism mentioned or the corporatocracy that we live in. We're supposed to be living in a democracy. Surprise, surprise. What do you think, Billy Bob?
That is surprise, surprise. You know, get back to what you just said, even on our freedom of religion, you know, this country was based on that. Our forefathers gave us the right to have freedom of religion. No matter what church you went to, if you're a Baptist, you're a Church of God, if you're a Catholic, a Mormon,
a Jew,
Protestant, a Jehovah Witness, it didn't matter. You had the right to worship in this country the way you wanted to worship. Now they're trying to take that away. And you know what's so bad about it is, and you know, on the dollar bill it said, "In God we trust." And do you know, we used to trust in God a lot. Our forefathers really believed in God. Boy, they wouldn't have put it on there. But here, you know, God is telling this country and telling the rest of this world, hey, y'all got away from me. This country right here, the United States of America, I was born here, I love this country. It used to be a great country, still is, but we're losing it even in religion. If people want to go out and worship God and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the things you have, we should be able to do that without being criticized about it. You know, that's taken away from our freedom of speech.
Right.
And we need to get back with God. Look what's been happening in this country with the drought in Texas. You know, all the flooding, the bad weather. We need to really get back with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin, who gave us the right, actually gave us freedom to worship the way we want to, if we want to believe in him or not believe in him. That's your choice. But you're going to have to answer to him one way or the other. So I think this country needs to go back to the old way of believing in God, helping our neighbors, quit fighting among ourselves, and just start working together. Because, you know, we got to make a change.
Yeah. And I think part of the problem is, I'll offer this as my humble opinion, part of the problem is people say they don't want to believe in God, that it's all a bunch of old ancient stories, but they don't want to give up the practice of worshiping God. So they just give it another name today. It's interesting. The message on the dollar bill, "In God We Trust," has become actually a good joke for the control freaks that run this country, because they know as well as anybody else who's paying attention that we do indeed trust in God, as it says on the dollar bill. We trust in God as in money. In other words, you can take God nowadays anywhere you see it, in any kind of government or corporate, et cetera, environment, and all you need to do is take the God out and substitute money, and you've got the exact correct statement as far as what's happening in this country. In money we trust. And I'm going to share with you a little secret about where the word money comes from, just so you know. The word money comes from an old Roman goddess named Juno Moneta. Moneta, money. That was back in Rome. There was a temple erected to the goddess Juno Moneta. That was where the financial transactions took place. And the building in which they took place, Juno Moneta's temple, was called the, guess what, the Capitol, C-A-P-I-T-O-L-E. And the funny thing is, if you go back and look at Juno Moneta's temple, get on the internet and do some research. Don't take my word for it. But go back and look at Juno Moneta, M-O-N-E-T-A, and you see a picture of her temple. And guess what it's got? It's kind of circular in form. It's got columns all around it. Look at any state capitol building or the capitol building in Washington, D.C. They are perfect replicas of the temple of Juno Moneta. So, yes, indeed, unfortunately, just about anywhere you see the word God anymore in the public view, you can safely replace it with money and know which God you're worshiping. You haven't given up worship of God. You've just changed gods. Now, maybe you don't like that, but like I said, I'm pulling the gloves off today. I'm going to say what I think, and you can agree or disagree, but regardless of whether you agree with me or not, you're worshiping the God. There isn't a person on this earth that isn't worshiping some kind of God. It may be a little God, as in little G-O-D and not big G-O-D, but a God is a God, and we have that wired into us to worship something. So if it's no longer correct to worship, or we think we're outdated as far as worshiping any kind of great, loving, divine being in the heavens, then we'll just worship money. And if we do that, then it's going to be a lot easier for us to get along in society, too. After all, this is a real world. It's about money. It's not about all this other Christian garbage anymore. Come on, give us a break. Jesus was just some biblical figure, was a great teacher. Let's get on with life and get real. Right, Billy Bob?
Yeah, that's the way a lot of people believe in it. But he was real. He came to this earth. He died for our sins. He died on the cross. And the Bible tells it, and it's, the Bible is very true to every letter that we know of. And even history backs the Bible up, because they have found certain things in Jerusalem and all these other artifacts they have found. So there was a man, and he was called Jesus, and he walked this land, and he did miracles and all. So he did everything that the Bible has said he did. But a lot of people just say, oh, I believe in God, and they go on their merry way. That ain't the way of doing the right thing with the Lord. The Lord wants you to do the righteous thing for him.
Well, here's the irony of it, Billy Bob.
Okay.
All right. We don't want to be controlled.
No.
All right?
Right.
And, of course, the politically and economically correct thing to do now, as well as the intellectually correct thing to do, is to say, well, you know, all these religions, it was all about control. All this talk about God has always been about control. And isn't it interesting that the very people now who have been saying this, on the other hand, think it's absolutely okay that we have a new set of controllers in place in our government and in the world, our corporate controllers that are worshipped as gods by our actions, by the way we support them. Now, that kind of control is okay, but that kind of control is also destroying our lives, destroying the freedom of this country. But perish the thought that we should allow a simple religion of a simple but powerful Son of God who came to earth, perish the thought that that should have any further power over us. Let's just say we've got a new set of slave masters we choose to serve, so we're going to serve them instead. Billy Bob, you know, this used to be called the land of the free and the home of the brave. And what in the world has happened?
It got worse, it seemed like. To me, we're fighting wars over there in other countries. Sometimes, for what? To me, we don't need to be over there. Boys are dying, men and women are dying over there for what? They're trying to make that country free so they can have a democracy.
That's what we're told anyway.
Country so they can vote for who they want. And then we have to, after we destroy it, we go rebuild it. That ain't, to me, is not really the right thing to do. You know, we shouldn't interfere with a country like that. I think we need to take care of us first. This is our home.
Yeah.
Protect our home first. Then if other country need help, send it to them, like food and water. I mean, we got starving people here, people going hungry, especially around these holiday, Thanksgiving and all that. People were actually, donation were brought out for helping people to eat Thanksgiving dinners. This is the first time I know in years that I've seen more families spending time together than any other time. It was like we went back 40 years.
That's a plus. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we really need to get back to the family values of everything.
Oh, I agree. And this is a good place to stop. Don't go away. We got some really good stuff. We'll see you on the other side of our break. Prepare for freedom, and my time flies when you're having fun, and sometimes when you're not. But we got a little mixed it up a little bit in the last half hour, so we hope you at least had some food for thought. And if you're still with us, we welcome you back, and we're going to take things along the road a little further here and maybe possibly explain a few things to you. And then, like I said, we've got a wonderful treat for you in the last 10 minutes of the show, because we got something special from Paul Harvey that's a classic that you will love. Now, getting back to our subject, what has happened to our freedom? What has happened to the land of the free and the home of the brave? There's been a fundamental shift in our culture that has taken place, whether we want to accept it or not. Facts are the facts. And that is that the American people have eagerly given up huge chunks of liberty and freedom in exchange for vague promises of increased security. And the result is that our country is now run by total control freaks, and paranoia has become standard operating procedure. You think I'm nuts? Think about it. We are told that the terrorists hate our liberties and our freedoms, and that we need to fight the terrorists so that we can keep our liberties and our freedoms. But instead, the government keeps taking away all of our liberties and freedoms. So how does this make any sense? Have the terrorists won? Well, I don't think so, but as a country, we have. Think about it. We have moved so far in the direction of communist China, the USSR, and Nazi Germany that it is almost impossible to believe we're even using some of their words. As I mentioned before, Homeland Security, that comes from Nazi Germany. Yes. And turning the United States of America into a giant prison may indeed make us all slightly safer, but what kind of a life is this? Do we want to be dead while we are still alive? Is this the price we really want to pay in order to feel slightly safer? Where are the millions of Americans that still yearn to breathe free air? America is supposed to be a land teeming with people thirsting for independence. Remember the famous saying, live free or die, which is supposed to be the official motto of the state of New Hampshire? Well, what the motto of most Americans nowadays seems to be is, live scared and die cowering. We don't have to live like this. Yes, bad things are always going to happen, and no amount of security is ever going to be able to keep us 100% safe. We need to remember that a very high price was paid for our liberty, and we should not give it up so easily. And just to sum it up in one short, sweet sentence, one very famous American by the name of Benjamin Franklin once said, when we give up liberty for security, we deserve neither.
Makes a lot of sense. It got quiet here.
It sure got quiet.
Anybody out there? Oh, wait.
Did everybody leave?
I don't know. I'm still here. I'm glad I'm still here.
What kind of price was paid for our liberty back in the time of Benjamin Franklin? What was the price that was paid then?
A lot of death. I mean, look, the price of for them to live the way they wanted to live and not to be told and not to be overtaxed, Boston Tea Party. This country would base on, they wanted to be, to stand up on their own two feet. We wanted to be able to have the liberty and the justice and have the freedom of things that other country didn't have. And they knew it. They knew what they wanted, and they really fought for it. We had a lot of people fight for this country to become all 50 states. Well, 48 states. Then Alaska, Hawaii came on later, especially in territory. You know, this country had fought a lot of wars in its own self to become a great nation. Now it seems like they want to tear it down and just leave it to everybody else and put us in jeopardy. You know, some people have, and I have thought about it, do you know if we are so worried about security instead of our liberty, eventually we're going to be so scared that we're going to make a mistake in our life that we're actually going to make a mistake because we ain't going to have no freedom whatsoever to decide whether it's right or wrong. You know, I'd rather live like, I don't want to live in fear. Nobody does, or even terror. But, you know, we have to have that choice. You know, we don't want to be controlled and tell us what to do, how to do it, and all like that. Saying, oh, we're secured here. Oh, nobody can break in. Oh, like, okay, we're okay. Nobody can do this to us. Then you're going to eventually make a mistake, and then who? You're not free. As much as it sounds like, oh, yeah, we're free. You're not free. You're caught in your own little web. I'd rather be scared and been put in a prison situation like that because it don't matter if you walk out the door, something could happen to you. You could drop dead. You can have a heart attack. Somebody could run over you, a tree, a lightning. It don't matter. But you got to take that chance. You got to have the trust in God to protect you and take care of you.
Taking that approach brings up a word that's become a very dirty word. But when you're talking about the price of liberty, it goes back to you and me as individuals. We cannot have somebody else legislating, controlling, and saying we're doing this for your best good. It all comes down to the concept of personal responsibility. And there is a quote to that effect, that personal responsibility is the price of liberty, made by a man by the name of Michael Cloud. But he isn't the only one that said that. Here's a few other things along that same line. Quote, a free society cannot work unless people take charge of their lives and assume responsibilities for their actions, said by a man by the name of Jim Powell. Who do we expect to assume responsibility for our actions nowadays? Who's supposed to feed us and clothe us and take care of us in our old age and help us out when we don't have enough food? Who's supposed to do that?
Well, they say the government.
Well, the government will do it. We're okay. Yeah, the government will do this and do that. Well, there's a price to be paid for the government doing this and doing that and doing everything. It's the price of your own personal responsibility. You're turning that over to something else that does not have your best interests at heart. If you're going to turn your life over to somebody or something, you may as well turn it over to this God that you may not believe in, because this God that you might not believe in is going to do a whole lot better with your life than what your government and these control freaks in power are doing to you right now. Let's get it out there, all right? Here is something else along the same line, and this is what we're really facing today. It's this serious, and it's been this way throughout all history. The issue today is the same as it has been throughout all history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite. And you know who said that, Billy Bob?
No.
One of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. He should know.
Yes.
All right. Anybody who needs to be persuaded to be free doesn't deserve to be, by a man by the name of L. Neil Smith. We could go on. But we're letting our own laziness, unwillingness to take personal responsibility, the collective sense of entitlement that is settled upon this society, to bring us down to slavery. When we let somebody else feed us, when we should be doing it for ourselves, we are taking away a very fundamental part of our own nature, our own inner sense of freedom when we do that. And how did, I don't know if you know this, Billy Bob, but you look back in history, back when the communists were the big bad guys. We always have to have some kind of a big bad guy. All right, okay. I'm not saying that they aren't, that they're still, that the communism is good. What I'm saying is there's always been a bad guy. You know, there's been the communists. Now it's a terrorist. You name your bad guy. Who knows? Maybe next it'll be space aliens. But there's always some bad guy out there that we got to keep our attention on so that we're not paying attention to what's happening to our own personal freedoms.
Do you know, now I got a good question. Here's something for people to think about. A good question. You know, look at movie stars, rock stars, look at even at the President of the United States, of their lives they live. They got bodyguards around them all the time. They can't go nowheres and do anything they really want to because there are other people protecting them. Now, you know, they're saying they're running the country and all like this, and they don't have no privacy and all. But what kind of life would you say that is? I would say in a lot of ways it's imprisonment.
Yeah.
Because they don't have no freedom. They can't live a normal life like a lot of us can. So sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I'm glad I'm out here. You know, if somebody's going to hate me or whatever, at least I know that's okay. But go around running a country and you're famous like a rock star president, movie star, actress, whatever. You don't have no freedom. You don't have no private life no more.
But you got money. Remember, money is the new God. You've got money. What else do you need, right?
Yeah, but money can't buy you happiness
either. Oh, I know, but...
money will run out sooner or later.
That's right. Well, that's the trap we're in. Money is our God, and that's a very hard thing to say, but we've just substituted gods, folks. And, you know, there's another interesting... This is a fact. Did you know, Billy Bob, that there is no country in the world that puts more people into prison than America does? Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
The land of the free. We have got more people, percentage-wise, in prison than any other country, and that even includes all these terrible countries with all of the injustices being done right now against their people, you know, and all the riots and the things.
Yeah.
And all the people that are going into prison as a result of that, guess what? The United States still has them beat. The United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world and the largest total prison population on the entire globe.
That is bad. That is really bad. But, you know, it's some of the people who are in prison that aren't really big crimes. You know, they should be out of prison or someplace because it costs enough taxpayers, all this money to take care of them. But like all your money, all the murderers and stuff like that, the ones that raped and killed all these people and all on death row or in prison for life, they need to do something else. But do you know some of the countries that do have different laws? Let's go with Saudi Arabia especially. This one comes in mind. Do you know if a wife cheats on her husband, they stone her to death?
Oh, well, she doesn't have to go to prison then, does she?
No.
And I'm not saying this to be smart alecky here.
If you rob somebody, they cut off your hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we got to a point of not saying we should go that way, but if we did go that way, I don't think we have that many people in prison.
Well, probably not. And, you know, we would like to think that that has to do with our supposedly higher moral standards, that we wouldn't do that to a person. But what kind of moral standards are we supporting nowadays? What kind of people are we electing to office? How many illicit affairs, sex scandals, you name it, scandals, going on at the highest levels of government? And those people, of course, don't wind up in prison. But, you know, it doesn't matter. We could have a soldier on every corner in our country. We could have a video camera in every room of every home and an RFID chip in every citizen's home. But that would not make us safe. Every single lawmaker that is backing laws of any kind which strip our liberties and freedoms away deserves to be voted out of office. Now, if you love the United States of America, please stand up and say something while you can. Write, call, do what you need to do. Talk to your neighbors. Wake people up. We are not headed in the direction of freedom. We are headed in the direction of having our whole society become another prison farm for whom? Large multinational corporate interests. They are the ones that make the contributions to our candidates' political campaigns. They're the ones that wield the power. And just like in the old days of the Revolution, when those who would talk like that were called conspirators by the king and were threatened to have their heads be hung from the nearest rafters if they were caught, we've got so-called conspiracy theorists again who are saying similar stuff and are to the point of being threatened with a similar fate. Do we really want that, or do we want to open our eyes and look and see what's really happening? What do you think, Billy Bob?
I think I'd rather be able to open my eyes and wake up the next morning and say, hey, I can go outside and I can go shopping and I can go to whatever store I want to without worrying about it.
Or not shopping if you'd
right.
rather grow
and
your own or make your own and not
right.
be considered domestic terrorist because you want to start growing your own food. That's happening now.
There was one thing I have noticed, even though we're on these tragedies like tornadoes and earthquakes we have had here in this country. It seemed like the human heart of people has come together to help out everybody else as much as possible.
Yeah.
Look what happened in Joplin, Missouri, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama, when them twisters went.
Yes, we are seeing a trend in the opposite direction, and thank God, and I mean God, not the money God, for that one.
Yeah, I mean, people are starting to realize that, you know, the Lord has blessed them, and hopefully they'll understand and wake up and get right with the Lord, because God can change this whole country around. He can put, he can do whatever he wants. He can make us have be a good nation all over again.
But he's going to respect our freedom of choice. It's really our choice whether we want to go that way or not, and he will honor it either way. That was the price that was paid so that we can have that freedom. We can choose to let ourselves be enslaved or destroyed, or we can choose to go back to the ways that led to freedom and loving and caring about one another and self-reliance and self-determination and all those things which led to the direction of freedom, where we could live our own lives without having them being dictated by outside interests that have no interest in us other than as cattle to be herded for their own monetary benefit. We don't need to live that way, but if we continue down the path we're going, we could very well wind up that way. And I, for one, prefer to be free to grow my own garden out here and be free to say what I want to on the Internet without fear of being shut down for saying something politically incorrect or have the thought police come after me. And, you know, back in the days of King George, there was a similar situation where we had the majority of the people in the United States didn't want to upset the status quo. They didn't want a war. They didn't want all these conspirators that were stirring up trouble, you know, with England. They just wanted to live their lives and just let it be. You know, it's okay if the British Tea Company and these other large companies at that time, it's okay, you know. Let's not rock the boat. Yeah, they're taxing us to death, but it could be worse. Yeah. I know we're just colonial slaves, but, hey, you know, it could be worse. And besides, I don't want my head chopped off. But a funny thing happened. And in the time remaining, we'd like to, as our special gift to you, we'd like to share with you something very special about the price of freedom. And the price that was paid specifically by some of those signers of the Declaration of Independence. And we'd like to leave this with you as our gift to you, and we hope that if you like it and like what we've been doing, that you will feel so inclined to go to prepareforfreedom.com. Give us a donation. Give us your support. Let us know you'd like us to continue. We will accept your vote. We will allow you the freedom to vote, and we're going to let you do that over the holidays and decide whether you want us to continue or not and live with that decision. But let us leave you now with this beautiful Paul Harvey piece about the price of freedom.
Americans, the how and the why of our beloved republic are so much better known and understood than the who. The United States of America was born in 1776, but it was conceived 169 years before that. The earliest settlers had watered the New World with much sweat. They had built substantial holdings for themselves, for their families. And when the time came to separate themselves from a tyranny an ocean away, at best it meant starting all over again after the ravages of war. Researching what you're about to hear gave a whole new dimension to my reverence for our nation's first citizens. All others of the world's revolutions, before and since, were initiated by men who had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Our founders had everything to lose and nothing to gain, except one thing. Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You remember the cherry tree fiction. A long time after you have forgotten the more earth-shaking history-making episodes in the life of George Washington, you have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero. But the only thing you personally recall about him is his poetic tribute to trees. I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated, 24 were lawyers and jurists, 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry, there was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge. And here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch, Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed, his wife imprisoned. She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated, his health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward, Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others. One of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war. And he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." So he, too, lived up to the pledge. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia. But I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men, certainly not terrorists, not irresponsible malcontents, not fanatical incendiaries. These men were prosperous men, wealthy landowners. They were substantially secure in their prosperity. They had everything to lose. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price. And freedom was born.
Much. We've come to the end of another show. Billy Bob, last words?
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everybody will let us know what we're going to do. God bless you. Take care.